whispering. Are you whispering?
No.
Okay, nobody whisper. Nobody whisper. As we fade out the intro music, it is GloucesterCast 228. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 people, including 2 members of the gold standard of actors, acting. Of acting. Yeah. The gold standard of acting.
The gold standard.
There are Academy Award winners. Yeah. There are Oscar winners.
Wow, that's tremendous.
And then there is the next level higher, the gold standard of acting.
That's right.
The Heidi Gold.
That's right.
Which Heidi Dallin brings.
Yep.
See, this is why we were talking about why it's so important and why we missed Heidi Dallin so much on the podcast, because she curates.
Yes. I bring the stars.
You do. You bring the stars.
You do.
Absolutely.
Time.
Bring the heat.
Absolutely.
You bring the heat.
You're like Redfall. Right. You bring the stars out.
So I want to go around and everybody's just going to introduce themselves and then we'll get to talking. And I have to chastise Pat Dalpiaz. She had a week. She was off for a week.
Yeah.
And the first thing I asked her when she came in the office was, okay, what are your show notes? What do you have for topics? Mm-hmm. And she failed me. She had nothing.
I got nothing.
She had a whole week to prepare.
I did. You're right.
It's not like you weren't traveling or moving.
Well,
you know,
right.
No, she's just lying in bed trying to dream up show notes.
Yes.
It's all about priorities, Kim.
I do dream about Gloucester most of the time. So.
But that's right. It's Gloucester. We help each other out. We're here with...
Yeah. I'm trying
to... I'm getting the stink eye from you.
You're getting the stink eye. That's right. You're getting the stink eye.
It looks like you brought food.
Yeah.
No, that's for my. I'm gonna do some pulled pork later on. We have John Hillner and Wendy Waring here, and they're gonna be speaking about Madame Defarge, the opening show at Gloucester Stage, opening May 11th. We have Heidi Dallin here, one of our regulars.
Good morning.
We have Kimberly Voltero here from Plug In Cape Ann Tours. She's gonna be our lead story. We have Pat Dalpiaz, which
morning.
Of course didn't bring any. But she did bring us a sesame bagel from Cape Ann Coffees.
Yeah.
With butter.
A new favorite place.
I love that place, too.
Yeah.
It's
so
wonderful.
Have you tried their oatmeal cookies?
Yes, yeah. And they are phenomenal.
Yes.
They are phenomenal.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of things that I would rank highly.
The guy behind me ordered a sandwich I almost stole from him because it sounded so good.
Their quiches.
The quiches look great.
Did you say quiches or quiche?
Quiche.
Their quiche is fantastic.
Yeah, I was looking at that too. There's just everything.
Don't
go in there hungry.
The bagel with cream cheese and salmon, capers, and onions, pickled onions, fantastic.
Ooh, that sounds
really
good.
That sounds rough.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And we also have Kim Smith here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
She is not dead yet. She's not been murdered.
I've not been murdered.
She's not
fresh
been murdered.
Fresh from the beach.
You made it through another morning at the beach.
And I made it through another morning alive.
Yeah.
But today's an unleashed day, so it's very peaceful.
Oh,
the beach today.
Well, there you go. So you probably your neck is probably a little bit. Your shoulders
are
relaxed.
She doesn't look
as
red.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got a terrible sunburn from being out there.
Yeah. I didn't know because a lot of times when you get embarrassed or something, you get flushed. You get that like your face looks like a tomato, but you get that the red right now.
It's red right now because
and they're not flush.
Sunday was there for 13 hours off and on, and that is just too much for. I mean, usually I'm like. You know, and I had number 80 sunblock on and hats and everything.
You're very fair skinned.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, not anymore.
Not right at the moment.
Kim Voltero, tell me about Plug In Cape Ann Tours.
Thank you, Joey. So we are new. This is our first full season, and we do history tours around Gloucester Harbor. We are now out at the Boulevard, so not far from the Fisherman. And this weekend we are launching the Art of Cape Ann, and that will bring people into the artist studios all around the island.
Oh, how nice.
So we're super excited. The artists are super excited. And this weekend we'll start on Saturday mornings. So we'll do Saturday mornings and Sunday afternoons. We pick up at the train station. So on Saturdays, we do Gloucester.
The downtown one?
The downtown one, thank you. Yeah. The downtown one. And that's to encourage folks from Boston and Salem to come.
Brilliant.
So we're doing a bit of
advertising. There's a bit of a parking that there, too. So,
yeah.
So it's smart.
Yeah, so that's the goal. So we'll start at the Boulevard a little bit earlier if people are walking around at the Fisherman, but then the main pickup location is at the train station. And each week we will visit 5 to 7 studios and galleries. So this week we will go to Thurston Point and visit Jackie DeFalco, if you guys know her, Cape Ann Designs. She does Sea Glass Designs, and she's always a wonderful hostess, leaving us coffee, which is wonderful. And then we will go to Magnolia and visit AG Studios, which some people don't even know exists, but it's another lovely place, and she is a very well-known artist, and so she'll give us a nice little tour of her art. And then we go to the Boulevard and we'll visit Melody Venue, and then we go downtown and we'll stop at the Charles Fine Arts Gallery, and they have three studios there, which, again, this tour, it's such a learning experience for me because I'm learning all about the different arts that people are doing, as well as what's available in each little nook and cranny, and everyone has a wonderful story to share. So then on Sunday, actually I forgot, we're going to be at the Sculptor on Muscle Point, which is the most fantastic view of Eastern Point Lighthouse from his house, which is great. And he does like whimsical designs of copper. I don't know if you know him.
What's his name?
I'm going to make a mistake, I'm sure. His first name is Bart, and his last name...
Simpson.
No. My husband's first name is Bart, too, and that's exactly what he says, like Simpson. Hold on.
I'm sorry for putting you on the spot like this.
His last name is, and yeah, this is bad. How come I don't know it? Here we go. Yeah, no. I know
it's... The Art of Bart.
It is the Art of Bart.
That's good.
You chose not to.
S-T-U-Y-F. But he's such a character, and in fact, his wife told me that if you look in the encyclopedia in Dutch, in the Netherlands, under avant-garde dance, you will see him and his brother. Seriously, there's some wonderful stories around Gloucester. And everyone is super talented. And when you go into someone's home-based studio, you really learn a lot about them and you get a better perspective of how they're creating. And ideally, you might want to take something home. And so the goal of this tour is to share the culture of art here and help people feel what we feel living here, that art is so important. And to do that with the help of these artists.
Do you know what I love about this, the whole idea? Think about this. Joey Shimitar and Kate hanging out in Gloucester, right? I might feel intimidated going to one of these small galleries because I'm all by myself.
Right.
So I'm probably not going to go, right? Yeah. But as a tour, you can kind of mingle in with all the other people. Right. And you don't feel so funny, like you're intruding on someone.
Right.
Although you know that the artist wants you in there, of course, right? But when you go in with a group...
Right. Because when it's one-on-one, you also feel like a little obligation to maybe purchase something.
This is brilliant.
That's a great idea. It is a great idea.
I love this idea.
So I have to say, all of my tours are based on my own personal fears, and that was exactly one of them. So the Cape Ann artisans are fantastic, right? You get the map, everybody knows exactly where they are, but I'm not walking in someone's house and knocking on their studio door, hoping it's like coming here.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't know where this door is. Yeah. Right? You're like, hello, you know, someone's going to grab me. So I really wanted to make it accessible. And art is such an important piece, and not all tourists understand that there are artists outside of the center of Rockport and outside of Rocky Neck. Yeah. So they're there as well. Yeah. But this, because we have a 14-passenger bus, it's very comfortable. It's an old Kata bus. All right, not that old, but it's a Kata bus. It still runs very, very well, and it's very comfortable.
I know Kata buses are in good condition. My Uncle Bobby takes good care of them.
So it's a former Kata bus, and we are able to take people all around the island. And if you come by a tour bus, a traditional coach, those long buses can't go where we go.
Right.
Even it's kind of tight for us to where
the
we're going.
Parking and stuff like that, yeah.
Exactly. So it's a great opportunity. We're kicking it off. We were selected. for Art Week 2018. So in Boston, there has been Art Week for the last few years, and now they have extended it all throughout Massachusetts. So we applied to make our the Art of Cape Ann activity a part of that. So
that's great. That's wonderful.
So we're really excited. We are actually, I think, the only event in Cape Ann next weekend. This weekend there are a couple of things going on, which is great. I encourage you to check out the Art Week website. And there's a lot of really interesting things going on in Massachusetts that are unique and very much like what we're doing, which is a behind-the-scenes sort of thing to get you more engaged in art. So we're happy to be a part of that. So we are being advertised on their website, which is wonderful. And our Art Week tours is kind of a kickoff for this new tour. So we're doing Saturday mornings, 9:30 to 12:30, this weekend and next weekend, so April 28th and May 5th, and then Sunday afternoons, 1:30 to 4:30, and that's the 29th, and May 6th, and we leave from Rockport train station. So we do a similar thing, but in the north of the island.
Yeah.
And
can I ask you a question?
Sure.
On the website that we're sending people to, is all the schedules, are they available on the website?
They are. Once you click the link for the Art Week special ones, it then gives you the choices of the schedule.
Is that on your Facebook page or not?
On my Facebook page, it's as an event, a Facebook event. All of them are listed as a Facebook
Okay, so
event.
People can find it from there. I just want to make sure we're
right.
giving them the
right.
cuz they won't remember when
you're
you
right.
just spoke like those sentences that people can't retain that. But I just want to make sure, so go to the show notes and you'll be, and there's a link for Plug In Cape Ann Tours with Kimberly Voltero, and you'll be able to find that, you know, more information about
yeah.
when you can go.
It is absolutely on our Facebook site, and I think that's where we're linking everybody.
Yeah.
So that's perfect. So there are those events. So we'll be doing that for Art Week, and that's just this next 10 days. And then we're pausing a little bit to collect our artists and make sure we have a good lineup for the rest of the summer. And
is it going to be a rotating basis, or is it the same ones?
Yeah, that's the exciting part, is every single trip will be a little bit different, and we'll either be in a different part of Gloucester or Rockport, but definitely there'll be rotating artists, and certainly when we hit a gallery, they're always rotating. So,
how do you select which one's going to be?
That is an excellent question. So I am not the art school major, so I'm not really qualified to be selecting artists. So I have worked with either Sea Arts and their members, and the Cape Ann Artisans, so some of their members, and then Rockport Culture Center, some of their members as well. So if you are in one of the galleries, so someone who's a little bit more into art than I am, or more qualified on art than I am, if you have made it to one of them, then you could make it to our tour. And that's kind of how it works. Then it's about scheduling, if you're available.
Right.
Can we get there when you're going to be available?
Great idea.
It's a wonderful idea. How much does it cost?
So for Art Week, as it's new, it's $25.
Oh.
And then the price is going to go
up
a lot.
Can you believe that price? Wow. That price is amazing.
$29
after. Wow, that's very reasonable.
So yeah, it's not so much for 3 hours, and the artists are so happy to have you in their studios that they're all putting out little lemonade and cookies and cheese and crackers and refreshments. So it kind of gets you.
We know what happens there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We know what happens there.
It's been a point of discussion, has it now?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a recurring theme on the podcast. We had a gallery on Rocky Neck, and whenever we had our events, we learned that you have to put all the goodies at the way back. And whenever we had an opening, it was packed because we had so many contributors and fans of the blog. But then we saw this recurring theme where the usual suspects, we called them.
The usual suspects, right?
They would look down. And they would, even though it was packed, they'd work their way through to the back. they'd pound down as much wine as they could, and they would fill their plates as much as they could. And then they wouldn't even address the artist. And then they'd work their way out. And it was like the same people with no shame. And some of them were wealthy people. I mean, they weren't bums. You'd think that they would be bums, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't bums. It was like these wealthy people that were like, you see him, and like, so the guy had that big, huge sailboat, he sails down like Caribbean right now.
And I'd hear things like, oh, we don't have to eat dinner now.
You don't have to eat dinner.
Yeah, it was just hilarious. So we would mock them all the time. And to this day, it was probably like 6 years ago, we're still mocking them.
But this will be a somewhat limited...
Well, it's not an evening,
I might go on a tour. I think it's a good deal. Yeah. $25. I'm gonna load up.
3 hours of.
We don't have to eat for a week.
Have Kate bring a big bag and then we'll be all set.
Yeah, just keep stuffing the stuff in the bag. It'd be great. I love it. No, fantastic.
Thank you. So
anything you want to add in closing?
So I wanted to tell you about the other tours that we have as well. So the art tour we'll be doing on weekends. So we are the official. Bus tour for the Cape Ann Artisans Open Studios tour. So that's when we'll be kicking off for the rest of the season, and that's June 2nd and 3rd, which you guys will do a great job promoting. But we do other than art tours. Mm-hmm. So on the boulevard, you can find us, and we will be taking folks to our historic homes in town, so like the Beauport Sleeper McCann House, as well as the Judy Sargent House. So we have different days for those too. We also do harbor tours. So if you have people visiting from out of town and you want to get rid of them for an hour or so, let them hang out with us and we will take them all around.
Oh, gosh, yes. That's such a good idea. I never would have thought.
It works. We also do a sunset tour twice a week where we go all the way around to catch the only sunset on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So that's
the
awesome.
Only sunset on the East Coast.
Is it the only sunset?
I'm joking.
like, what's going on here?
We feel like
what the hell am I talking about?
Yeah.
Folly Cove, the lobster pool has some spectacular sunsets.
And that's
spectacular sunsets.
That's exactly where we go. But if you're a tourist, you wouldn't know that, would you?
Well, yeah, no.
Not many. I mean, Lobster Pool's doing a great job now advertising, but if you're not from here, you know, this is our tours are meant to take you to the really cool places that the locals would
really
go
good.
At the right time, because mm-hmm. going there is great, but it's so much better if you go there at sunset.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Kimberly.
Thank you for letting us be here.
I mean, well, good luck. It sounds wonderful.
Thank you. Nice to meet you all.
Thanks so much for coming.
Well, wasn't that fantastic? Very excited.
What a great idea.
It's a great idea. I love that idea. Yeah. Now we have hats and we have pins. And we can wear these.
It is.
Yeah.
I like the design. It's
attractive.
Yeah, it's a great job.
I'm not
going to
wear it.
I don't wear it. Yeah, no.
I could use it for sun protection.
Yeah.
While I'm fully
sun. Yes, that's a good idea. That's your color. Pale white. No, I'm teasing. It's more. Yeah, no, it's contrast with the red on your face.
There isn't a podcast that goes by that he doesn't mention how tomato
since
red
he's getting
my face.
More, it's more. It's like
and the
three
more
shades,
you talk, the more the redder
it's three
again.
Shades deeper right now.
I just dropped something on the
ground. Our gold standard guests, which really the last guest didn't really count. Even though she was very sweet.
Well, like we said, she's the gold standard of tours.
Gold standard of tours. And we have the gold standards Broadway actor, like many, many times over, as we heard, right? We Madame Defarge starring John Hillner and Wendy Waring. John has been on Broadway. Wendy, have you been on Broadway as well? So John's been on Broadway 10 times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Starting way back in 1979.
79? Were you a child? He was a child actor.
I was a child actor.
Child actor.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is with they're playing our song with Tony Roberts and Lucy Arnaz.
Wow.
That was a while ago.
See, there you go. Now you're talking.
That
was your only ensemble job, right?
My ensemble job, yeah, exactly. But I've been doing, you know, pretty consistently since then, you know. Every couple of years, another Broadway show. But
how often are you at Gloucester Stage?
This is my first time.
Wow!
I'm a premiere time with Madame Defarge. So I have never worked here before. So this is going to be great. But Wendy has worked here before.
Wendy's mom was legendary at the Gloucester Stage. Yeah,
absolutely.
Not even legendary Gloucester Stage. Legendary throughout Cape Ann, I would say. Transcends Gloucester Stage.
Be wearing.
Also former Miss America.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, that's why we're lucky. How do you think we get such great people to spend their summer here?
What's the difference between a Miss America and Miss Universe? Which one's the one where they're a little bit more slutty?
Miss Universe.
So that's it, right?
So that's Miss USA goes to Universe.
Oh, okay. I got you, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Miss America goes nowhere, and Miss America is talent.
Right. And
Miss USA, which goes to Universe, is no talent.
Right.
And
it's just
a beauty pageant.
It's a beauty pageant.
Correct.
Right.
Miss America doesn't go anywhere. State, talent, and that's it.
Yeah.
And
big
then
time.
What was your mom's talent?
She played the vibes.
Oh, how beautiful.
The xylophone.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Double mallet.
Double mallet. Played Claire de Lune.
Mm-hmm.
She was a percussionist.
Is there a video of this?
It's a really interesting question because today there are people coming in from Minnesota to interview my mom all weekend and film her because this is her 60th?
I think so.
No, 75th. Somebody do the math.
1948.
So that's 70 years. So this is her 70th year. So there is a big hoo-ha when they have anniversaries. So they're actually coming here and staying at the place, and they're filming her, and there's a whole crew coming.
Wow.
Over to the house.
So this might be the only
so,
time that she's
and they're
filmed
trying to find. They're trying to get find footage. She can't find her original footage. They have pictures.
Priceless. That would have been priceless.
Yeah. If a picture would be...
Much like the 1978 Gloucester Marching Band video.
That's
that we
right.
Can't find.
I'm working on that.
Not during,
I'm so excited.
I'm working on
your
it.
Not, you know, to overlap your
right.
post, but do a separate post with a picture
right.
of her congratulating her for
would
the
you do that?
Yeah.
Thank you so
I would
much,
love
Kim.
To.
That's
yeah.
very sweet.
Bea does have her bathing suit that she wore in the swimsuit competition. Because she brought that.
She did.
Yeah, there was a Gloucester stage.
Is it a bikini or a full or one piece?
It's a one piece. And it's like
in 1948.
And it's made almost like, if I remember, is it like a sweater material?
It's
yeah.
oh, like a wool.
Yeah.
Oh my, wow. How striking is she?
The viewers or the listeners
oh
can't see that we're looking
you need to
at a
send
picture
that picture to Kim.
Yeah.
Can you email
oh,
that picture to Kim?
Oh,
right
that's
now?
Lovely.
Kim, that has
classic.
To go on the blog. That has to go on the blog. Okay,
yeah.
We have to do that. Okay, let's get back to Madame Defarge.
Yes.
The opening.
Yep, it's the opening of the season. It's a world premiere. It's inspired by a story that everybody knows if you've read A Tale of Two Cities.
Mm.
But
mm-hmm.
this is a fantastic new twist.
Madame Defarge.
Well, it's not the retelling of the story. It's a different point of view. It's like my example when I said explain it to my family. It's like if you were to take Sound of Music and do the story of Liesl and Rolf.
Mm-hmm.
And why Rolf is like that way. Why does he fall in love with her and then leave her? And her story and what happens to them? So this is taking Madame Defarge, which is one of how many characters in this? There's
a thousand characters in
The Tale of Two Cities. There's a paragraph somewhere in the book where Wendy Kesselman, the writer, found a piece of information about Madame Defarge that we don't really know about. We only know her as being the most evil.
She was, everybody thinks of her as sitting by the guillotine and knitting and, you know, watching all the aristocrats, you know, having their heads lopped off.
But there's a whole other backstory about her, which is what this play is, this musical is about. Her story, why she is the way, why she sat there, you know, why, and again, it's a small paragraph, nobody knows about it, you don't, it's not in the movies, you know, Tale of Two Cities movies and such, so this is her story.
And it's a musical?
It's
mm-hmm.
a musical.
Okay.
It's a little Les Mis slash,
yeah.
what'd they say?
It's
dark.
Right, yeah.
It's not, you know, we, John and I probably do the most comedy. They want comedy in it, and they try to,
right.
our characters, they're like, please be funny. So he's very, very funny. My character is not quite as blatantly funny, but I'm making her funny.
Mm-hmm.
So,
who's the director?
Yeah, you can talk.
Ellie Heyman,
from New York. First time she's worked here at Gloucester Stage. And she really has a fresh perspective, and we're happy to have her. I mean, honestly, the way theater works, I really, you know, they've been rehearsing at Salem State, and they graciously gave us some space. Thank you, John Keenan, my college classmate.
Did you make out with him?
Not yet.
No, back in the day, no, back in college. No, it's a lifetime ago.
Now there's a
better red flag. I don't know what kind of college you went to.
Oh, there's more than that.
We were... John Keenan and I were buddies, and we still are good friends. And
with
and,
benefits.
Oh, no!
I tease. I tease.
But no, we're good. He, nobody else deserves that. He's just a stand-up guy.
Deserves what?
That job at Salem State, the president of Salem State. He's really, he really is a terrific guy.
Yeah.
So, so happy for him.
But we have deep root connections to Salem State after Kim won her award there for the Friend of the...
I know.
Yeah.
Did you know that? It was so...
I saw...
She, was the key, she gave the keynote speech at Salem State for Earth Day Week. And won an award for a Friend of the Environment. What
was I it? Saw you won a big award. That's so amazing.
Friend of the Earth. Yeah, same thing, right?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well
big,
deserved.
Big, big, big,
yeah.
big,
well
big,
deserved.
Big. Which is why we're going to nominate her, and now she has the credentials to back it up, and you, for the Citizens Award at the UU. When the UU does the Citizens
Award.
Mm-hmm.
I would like us to nominate Heidi for sure.
I want to nominate both of you.
Yeah. I think
Kim
should
be nominated.
It
has to happen.
Yeah.
No, I think both of you guys do a tremendous amount. They give away a ton of awards. They pass them out.
Yeah. Oh, great, Kim. We'll be all
no, there's like,
they give away.
There's like 15 of them
yeah.
that night.
Yeah.
And then you can listen through all the
yeah.
speeches. And, you know, and
yeah.
they're nice.
Yeah,
it's a nice. Listen, the people that get them
right.
are good. You know, if you get one of these awards, it's a nice award.
I remember I covered it when Donna won it for
Donna.
Her environmental, for her, clean, you know, 1 hour at a time game. And then
John
McElhenney won it. So Terry Sands won it for Asquith Village Players. So not a really
Rick Dowsett, I believe, won it.
I think you're correct.
Oh, yeah, I think so. With a Y, yeah.
Who's who? I mean...
Yeah.
And it's just I can't believe that I'm actually shocked that the two of you guys don't have them yet.
Shocked. Utter shock.
It's gonna happen now. We're gonna make it happen.
You're very sweet, Joey.
Influential.
It's very sweet. So
rainmakers.
Anyways,
rainmakers over
here. We love Salem State.
Yeah. So we didn't get off topic at all, did we?
No, we didn't. Not at all.
No.
But
no,
I mean,
no.
They're in the rehearsal room. We're all in the office, like. Getting the program out, doing the program book, doing...
How big is the cast?
10 people. Okay.
10 people.
Yeah.
That's manageable.
This is your largest cast, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a large cast for Gloucester
for
Stage.
For Gloucester Stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many was in the back,
several of us that play different characters. So it's
oh.
Yeah, we each play,
two.
Right.
How what do you guys play?
I play the Marquis, the evil Marquis. And then another spy called Marsad. So
the evil Marquis has comedy in his thing.
Oh, I chew the scenery.
Really?
Yeah. I reduce it to sawdust. That's right. Yeah. But there are elements of humor in it. And he does get his comeuppance. So the audience has a certain satisfaction in what transpires. So, oh yeah.
And I play Miss Pross, which is the guardian of the young girl, Lucy. And she's very, very protective, almost has a screw loose. She's so protective, and people are going to take Lucy away from her. And, of course, her dad comes back to her life, and a man comes into her life, and all these things are horrifying to Miss Pross. It's not an option.
Yeah.
Nobody is good enough. Not even her father.
Right.
Nobody.
Oh my God.
She's wound a little tight.
Yeah, I can't.
And then I play a guard.
A prison guard.
Oh.
That's right. In the Bastille.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hmm. And I think Heidi's done the play a great favor by wearing a French aristocrat on the end of her necklace.
Oh!
It looks like it reminds
gosh.
Me of a French aristocrat hanging from the gallows in the late
1700s. Oh, no, she's never going to be able to wear it again.
It's a sweet little doll.
I made a direct connection to the play. Honestly, I did.
Well, yes, of course, I planned all of that.
Yes.
So, oh yes.
Did you ever read Tale of Two Cities?
You know something? My memory is so shit. I may have. We have Alzheimer's running in my family, and I'm getting up in my ages.
I suggest that people Wikipedia.
Or
the notes. And do a little. It's you know, because we
watch
the movie. There's just so much information.
Mm-hmm. And what are the big famous lines from John?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was a far, far better thing I do
than I've ever done before.
Yeah. You know, there's that. Those two.
Yeah.
Those are the biggies.
Those are the biggies.
Those are the greatest
hits. My memory is a school teacher, and the guy down the hall from me was the English teacher, and he would get the film every year and he would play it, and my room was just a couple down from his, and he had to have the door open, and it was these peacocks cawing. You know, your sound levels just went, and that's what I remember. That's what I attached to in the movie, in the old movie.
Yeah, we just saw it.
Yeah.
There are two films. Two.
Loud and that's what I attached to the Tale of Two Cities.
Who are the actors in the movie?
Oh boy,
do you remember?
Ronald Coleman, Basil Rathbone.
Do you remember Basil?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's in a lot of horror movies.
Oh really?
Yeah.
But also, I think that since it is
to the Hillary Clinton shuffle, I thought she was doing the Hillary Clinton shimmy right there.
Since it is inspired by Tale of Two Cities, and it's taking the Madame Defarge kind of story, but I think if you come to the musical, if you come to the show, that you will be thoroughly, and you're not going to be lost if you don't.
If you haven't recently read it.
No. You know, if you haven't recently read it, or can't. I think that
Wendy has simplified it, and Ellie is making it really clear.
Yeah.
You know, she is directing it so that it is very clear.
Wendy Kesselman is the writer. She's written the script. You know, she's written the script. She's written the lyrics. She wrote the music.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Talk about a dynamo.
Jesus.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
And she lives in Massachusetts. She lives on the other Cape, so we don't want to talk about that. But we're getting her up here. So, but yeah, she is a one-woman dynamo.
That's amazing how much the talent that we get here.
Yeah.
We say it every time. But
it is.
We are just so lucky to have people 10 times on Broadway. That's
I know.
Big time.
Well, and we know if anything happens to anyone in the cast, John could just fill in for them.
Right.
He's good at that.
Yeah,
right.
Jack of all trades.
With no rehearsal, you can just jump in.
You need to tell this story. You need to tell the story, because we talked about it a little bit before we started taping, but you were handed out.
Yeah, with all shows going on the Broadway, what happens is that you have a preview period where you have audiences come in and they before the opening, and you kind of shake down the plot a little bit, and you trim and cut and do whatever you need to do and make it right for the opening. So, but the thing is, if you're an understudy, I was in the show, but I was also covering three other parts that are in the show. And understudies never get any rehearsal time during previews. So during previews, you're on your own to learn everything. So this other friend of mine who was in the show, Brian Batt, and I we were covering the leads. So we'd go back and forth. We'd learn the lines and look at the show every night and stuff. And during previews, literally 2 weeks into the show, the guy who was playing the lead that I was covering was in the middle of a song, and he stopped in the middle of the show. He said, stop, I can't go on, I have a terrible virus. My understudy will be on. And he walked off stage. This is 1,600 people in the Marquee Theater in New York. So I'm standing next, and the curtain comes in, and I'm standing next to the stage manager, and he turns to me and he goes, go to wardrobe. That was it.
Oh my God.
There was no choice. It wasn't like, you know, are you ready? No, it was
go to wardrobe,
ready and go on. So I went to wardrobe, they fixed me up, and Harvey Fierstein, who was there, who wrote it, came back and said, so don't worry, darling, I'll take care of you, I'll cover you for 10 minutes, I'm going to go out and do a song and dance for the people. So he goes out, and he stands in front of the audience, and he asks, you know, he said, got anything to ask me? Whatever. What are the questions about the show? So he's in front, and the choreographer, Jerry Mitchell, comes back, and he says, I'm going to teach you the dance, because you've never seen this before.
Oh, my God.
So he's teaching me the dance behind the curtain, and all I see is the spotlight following following Harvey as he's entertaining the audience.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm learning
your heart must
I'm
have
learning
been.
The show. I'm learning the dance that I'm about mm-hmm. to do. So Harvey comes back. And he says, "They're sick of me, darling. Come on, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to introduce you to the audience." So he takes me by the hand. He takes me out. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gary Beach's husband for the rest of the show. John Hillner is a great actor. Okay, take it." So I'm out there, and I picked up exactly where it was.
Wow.
And, you know, I said to the conductor, I said, "Ready to go? Let's go. Yeah, 3, 4. Remember there? Yeah, you know where it is? Yeah, you know where it is." This is in front of the whole audience.
Jesus.
And so we start into it, and we finished, and I did the rest of the show, and then I did 4 more shows. And then I continued doing it, and I took over the part for a while. But it was one of those, you know, heart-stopping moments where if you're not prepared, you're sunk. So I always say to people who are understudying, I say, you have a responsibility, no matter what, before the opening, you better be ready to go. Yeah. And fortunately, I was ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to know your stuff. So that was.
And people were pulling him around on stage.
Just
moved him.
These as I said, guys. I said with them all, "Shove with love. Just put me where I'm supposed to. Just put me where I'm supposed to be, so I don't run into you." You know. But that's like crazy.
Wow.
But that happens. You know, people are thrown on. You know, and you have to be ready.
And the rest of the cast was ready to put you. They knew where you. I mean, the rest of the cast. Was
because
right
they've been doing it,
yeah,
you know, and
right.
So and I'd never walked through it because I'd never been on stage with them.
Right.
Was
know?
That your first?
Wow.
Was that your first time on Broadway?
No, that was probably my 8th show.
Oh, okay.
Out of 10, you know, I don't know. So, but those stories are legend.
That's why you're a professional.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Professional-ish.
Well, gold standard. Let's be
gold
honest.
Standard.
Gold standard.
Well, and, you know, Wendy, even more special. Last time she was here, she came and taught the kids in the youth acting workshop.
Oh.
Oh, that's
and
wonderful.
And she's an amazing dancer. I actually saw her at Will Rogers Follies.
Oh,
and she taught them Tommy Toon choreography.
Oh, my goodness.
Which,
wow.
Tommy Toon, in the theater world...
Yeah.
We have to introduce you to Tommy Toon, Joey. You'll have to.
Is this going to be another instance where I pee my pants because I'm so excited?
Yes, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. But I mean, it's an amazing thing that those, you know, 30 kids in the youth program can say they learned original choreography from a Broadway show.
Yeah, bananas.
That Tommy Toon, who was one of the all time.
Six Tony Awards.
12
Tony Awards.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, he's the gold standard. He's the gold standard.
Wow. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's even more amazing.
That youth acting workshop, they get exposed to some. I mean, Lindsay worked with them a little bit last year, and
Brad Hall worked
also
with
worked with them last year.
Yeah.
You must have loved it.
Oh. Their faces. It's great.
Yeah, that must have been wonderful.
Just incredible. So, do you guys live around here?
We live in New York City. My parents live in Rockport.
So when you come,
we're in the big house on the water, sitting there, going,
yep.
Enjoying.
Not a bad place.
No, not too shabby.
Missing New York right
now. No,
this is a nice
little break.
It's really, really great.
Oh
nice.
My God.
Yeah.
And they met too. Doing the show, working together.
This,
in New
which
York.
Show?
In New York.
Crazy this show?
For you.
Crazy. Oh,
oh this show.
It was Crazy for You.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great story.
Are we going to go down this path? Is that what you're trying to lead me down this path?
Well, you know, they're smiling, so it worked out pretty well.
So you guys married or just together?
We're married 20 years.
And we're together.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, because that could be mutually exclusive,
yeah,
right?
Be, yeah.
That could be,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Well, you know, it's. We were speaking. What is more incestuous of a business, the restaurant business, or a you know, acting
theater? Yeah.
And sure. And Wendy, who has been in
both,
says easily theater, which says which says
not
a lot.
Far behind,
yeah.
Believe me, because you're sitting there hanging out afterwards, you know.
Yeah, closing up.
Closing up.
Yeah.
I remember those.
And, you know, the lines, you know, the lines where the cooks are and stuff like that. There's always tight quarters, and the bum rums up, or the bartender. You have to get past, right?
I have no idea.
Well, this is these are the stories. This is the story that I hear all the time. Kim knows. She was a cocktail waitress down on the Cape, and she got molested all the time. Sort of, right?
There goes the face.
Not molested in a molested way. I mean,
yeah,
you got
tight quarters way.
Yeah, very tight quarters.
Yeah, and you were young. You were
very young.
You were not of the age yet either.
I was illegally working as a cocktail waitress at 16. So.
Yeah, at 16, and then she went on to be a model and everything else, right?
No.
Did you model?
No, I was an art student.
Yeah, but you had model looks back then and stuff. You had the you married a rock star, right? You're throwing the panties on the stage. That's how she met her husband. Her husband was in the Atlantics.
He loves to say that I.
And that's
that
she was a groupie.
My husband
she was a groupie. Let's
band.
Be honest, you were a groupie.
I did not even tell my husband when he had that band. So.
She hung out with the Cars.
Poor Kim.
Back on Boylston Street,
the
recording studio. And
that would have been really exciting.
Well, that was on Newbury Street. The recording studio was on Newbury Street.
Well, they're the same. One street over is the same. Boylston, Newbury. Right?
Anyways, moving on.
No, but I mean that. So, but it's nice that you guys are still married after 20 years.
Yeah, it's 20 years. We just had a 20-year anniversary.
Because you have these
congratulations. Yeah.
But Wendy was saying interesting. You know, like it's like you know. So you these moments where you're not with your husband or something like that, and you're like, thank God that guy's a real jerk in real life, because I have to do this
makeout scene
with this dude that, like.
Do you have any makeout scenes in this play? No.
Well,
musical.
The only interesting twist that he and I have is that, spoiler alert, he's my brother. He's my long-lost brother.
Right.
Oh.
Right. And one of the characters.
One of
the
characters is a spy, and he's playing this, but I show up, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's not him, that's my brother. And they're like, what?
And she hasn't seen him for, like, you know, umpteen years.
Right.
So I hug him, I maul him, I tickle him.
That's no spoiler, it's in Charles Dickens.
Spoiler alert! There are no spoiler alerts in Dickens!
Spoiler.
Jesus.
Yeah. Nope, Charles is all right
story,
with this.
Hardly.
Yeah.
But that's kind of fun. But there's, you know, there's love interests here and there and stuff, but...
Well, Madame Defarge.
You know, Madame Defarge,
they
and
they
have
a wonderful, wonderful relationship.
A beautiful scene, and they are, you know, she and Master Defarge. And it's kind of their love story. There's a really, really incredible love story that goes on, even though she is obsessed with, you know, getting the aristocracy to pay for their wrongs and their ills over all the years. There's a reason that she does it, and I think that's what Wendy tried to do, is try to say, well, this woman is not all evil. There's another part of
her. Her family was destroyed.
Right,
her
family
sister,
was destroyed. There's a reason that she's doing what she's doing, and we have to have a certain sort of sympathy, and she brings you into her world in a way that is very, very captivating and endearing and focused.
Wow.
And I think that's something that the audience wouldn't normally get from just reading the Dickens novel.
You have to pull that off as an actress or an actor, to be a kind of an evil character, but like have people warm to you. Takes a special talent.
It's a double edged
sword.
It's
the writing.
Yeah.
It's in the writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know
it's
what?
Writing.
Like, you got to be able to pull that off, and
yeah,
know, that's amazing. That's talented actors can do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we shall see. We'll throw it in front of an audience and see if it flies. You know, but that's what's interesting about this, is the first time that they've really done a big production of this. They've done readings of this over the years, but this is the first major. Costume.
Very exciting.
And then your hope is that it will go on to Broadway. Yeah.
Well, I think that's always the hope.
That's always a hope.
Yeah.
Always a hope.
So. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, it's we'll see what happens here and whether there's, you know, got some traction and see where it goes. But that's always the hope.
Opening for the Gloucester stage, May 11th, and we're going to have a link to buy.
Actually, preview of the 11th and 12th, and we open on.
The press opening
is the 13th, but the 11th is, I mean, it's the same show.
Available for all.
Oh, it's always
the
same show.
And the 11th is Cape Ann night. So
you can buy tickets, though.
Yep, we can buy
tickets. So the tickets are, I always said, we're going to have in the show notes of this podcast, you'll be able to.
And that opening weekend is the weekend where you can get like all kinds of good deals, because Friday night is Cape Ann night, and then we have a Pay What You Wish matinee on Saturday. So if people really want to see the show, but they feel like, you know, they're they it's a tight month or there's a lot going on, mm-hmm. then you can really take advantage of, you know, some great deals and you get to see the show.
And I think it's Mother's Day weekend, so
that
would be lovely.
Yeah, May 13th is Mother's Day, so that's a great Mother's Day
outing.
Are you going to send me all this stuff for them?
Yeah.
And then do you want Tom to come?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
This is great because you have a little trailer in here on the website. So you can go. The website is fantastic. It has the cast. It has a little video, and it has a link to. Most importantly, it has a link to purchase tickets.
Right.
So go check it out.
You can see all the great, you know, the deals, the different things that are happening.
There's a lot. Their website as well.
We're also doing some student matinees as well. And
it's Wednesdays, I believe, right?
At 10 in the morning.
Yeah, 10 a.m. So we're getting...
Is that for non-students as well? Did anybody go to it?
No, I think it's students.
School.
It's schools.
You're bringing high schools.
Yeah, it's schools. I'm Waring is coming. I think... some students from O'Malley are coming. Yeah. The Waring School is coming. Yes.
Wow. Does that have anything to do with the family?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Was that your uncle?
It was my uncle.
Yeah.
My dad's brother.
That's incredible.
The Waring School.
Do you know...
Talia went there, right?
And the Waring Field.
Talia,
right?
Yeah.
Waring Field.
Yeah. That was your uncle.
That was my grandfather.
That was your grandmother.
I mean, my grandfather, yeah.
I film over there at Waring Field all the time.
Lloyd Waring.
Yeah. It's a great, there's some amazing habitat back way back.
Amazing.
There.
Gave it to the town for $1.
Yes, Waring is coming to one of the student matinees, yes.
My dad got us Waring jackets, you know, the school jackets, and I just started at my age, able to wear my name on the back of my jacket. You know, it's kind of weird walking down the street, and you're like, you've got your name on the back of your toe? You're weird. But it's like, No. I'm going
to
wear it. It's Waring School. And
you have to wear it to the matinee afterwards.
Somebody in this New York City, somebody went to Waring School and is going to go, wait.
That would be cool. That's going to be one of those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I think it's amazing foresight that your grandfather had that he wanted to keep that as a field because we've lost so much.
My grandfather wanted to do that and a lot more that he wanted to buy where contractors had built to this day, like, the townhouses.
Yeah.
He would say, I will, you know, he would give him, I'll pay double.
Yeah.
To have you not build this here.
And they
said, sorry. Okay. And he tried.
Well, because I know that the high school is always trying to take over the field and trying to get the town to, turn it into more sporting fields and things like that. But I don't think that
Do
they
need the space? This is, what's
no.
to say?
No, not really. Not really. Anyways,
they can play on it, can't they? Aren't they? Aren't people allowed to?
No,
not
I don't,
really.
I
it's
mean,
not
I don't
useful
think so.
For an athletic field.
Right. There's a farmer who uses it pretty regularly.
That's right.
But anyways, it's tremendous foresight. I mean, I just, right. I'm so grateful and appreciative for that field. It's just, it really is incredible because we have so few fields. Remaining fields.
Canadian geese, is that a place where the Canadian geese go?
Well, Canadian geese aren't really like a desirable thing.
No, I know, but do they stop over there?
Yeah,
there are
a
lot of turkeys there.
Yeah, there's a lot of turkeys.
Yeah.
A lot of turkeys.
Cows.
Around here, too.
Where do the cows come from?
From the
farm?
From the Seaview Farm there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll talk to you about that at some point, like about how it's being managed. Not for butterflies. Called knowing at the wrong time of year.
Rabble rouser. She's
rabble.
A troll.
But the Waring School will be at one of the student matinees, so get prepared,
okay.
Wendy. And which brings the point that, you know, young people would also enjoy the show too.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a young child. Little girl
yes.
to play. She's amazing.
Yep.
10 years old. Plays four different characters.
Man.
Is she one of the actresses that you've had before?
No.
Okay.
Oh, she's
Those actresses, the actors you had and actresses you had in To Kill a Mockingbird blew me away last year.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Fall away.
That was so powerful. That performance was just incredible. Mm. God.
But this is something that families can go to. So,
great.
Mother's Day. You're trying to decide what to do. Go to Madame Defarge.
Madame Defarge.
Go to a world premiere.
Make it happen. Yeah. You can say you were there before they were on Broadway.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, that's right. You can say, oh, like I saw that.
That's like getting a rookie that's like getting a rookie card.
Yep.
Like got the Tom Brady rookie card.
Or seeing Hamilton before it went to Broadway.
That's right.
Yeah, that would have been.
Where did Hamilton? Where did Hamilton start out?
At the public theater, off Broadway.
Yeah, Jesus, huh? How much money has that made? Has that broken all records?
I think probably.
Yeah,
it's close. Who knows? It's just
bananas. Like
it's a license to print money.
Yeah, they just you know, cranking. If you go to New York, you can't not go.
Just like Hamilton, how it's an old piece set in now. This piece. This Madame Defarge, there's so much topical stuff.
Oh, that's
you
great.
Can apply.
That holds up, yeah.
It's kind
that
of amazing,
up.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes I think, wow, I wonder if like
history
Manuel
really does repeat
got a
itself.
Hold of this story. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because it's all it's totally repeating itself.
Yeah, it's absolutely yeah.
It's exactly yeah.
You saw it in To Kill a Mockingbird. You see it in that. Yeah. It just repeats itself.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's scary.
Go on the website. The link is in the show notes. Check it out. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming.
Great to meet you.
So that was very exciting. That's going to be a great show.
I can't wait to see it.
Oh,
I can't wait to see it. Yeah.
I know. Listen, Kim.
Yeah.
Very disturbing news about the Plovers. They were in the parking lot behind the dunes.
Again.
Again.
This is the
it does
third.
Not bode well for the for their chances.
Oh, yeah.
Because imagine when they... Should they close down the parking lot, too?
No, it's just that they're driven off the beach into the parking lot. They go there when
it's
crazy on the beach.
It's not
and it's
good.
They're just
third,
retreating, right?
Right,
I mean,
it's the third...
You had, I read your
day.
Post.
Yeah.
I don't read all your posts.
Yeah.
I read yesterday's post,
yeah.
And my heart sunk. Like, people were just totally disregarding everything. Even though you went... There's where, you just got done saying, talking about how great it was we have all this new signage.
Signs, right.
And in the face of the new signs, the dogs are running roughshod.
Yeah.
Like, in your face.
Right.
They're, like, in your face. It's like... It's like, remember, like, back in the 70s, it's like, there was that big thing, like, in your face! Like, in your face, they had the dogs running. It's like, I feel like they're doing it on purpose.
It does feel like that.
It does feel
extent.
A little bit like that sometimes, but I can't imagine people being like that.
That
but
mean spirited.
Yeah, I can't. But I.
You don't want to believe that.
No, but I just think, and people have said. So I thought the signs really would help, because people were like, "Well, we can't read it. It's too small." You know, I put the signs up. The signs. A couple of them came off because it was thin plastic, and when the wind blew, it cut through the zip ties.
Do you think we could do a GoFundMe page for a Jumbotron? Maybe we could get a Jumbotron.
Okay.
There
well, I some. Think, couldn't you build like a little house for the Plovers that they could go in or
well,
something?
Well, that's what the exclosure. That's what the exclosure
that
is. The exclosure, you have a top, and they have the mesh,
there's
and
eggs,
they come in
right.
and go out,
but,
which protects
you,
them.
You can't put that down until they lay the eggs. So once they lay at least two, you know, one or two eggs, then you put the exclosure over it, and then you pray they don't reject it. And
yeah.
If they don't come back to the exclosure within 45 minutes, you have to take the exclosure away. Because
it's very involved.
It's very involved. So anyways, yesterday I was just down there in the middle of the day checking on the signs, and I'm just standing there filming the fog coming rolling through. And this lady with her three dogs, you know, and I had warned them about the Plovers, just run right through the dunes, run right through the Plover area. And I was filming it. And so when she, you know, walked towards me, I said, you know, by the way, they can't be in the dunes again. You know, I explained this to her again. Well, my dogs weren't in the dunes. And I was just like,
you think that people don't know what that means somehow?
Right, I said, well,
no,
it's the
delusional. This is what I keep saying over every week. There is no such thing as to an owner of a dog as them having a bad dog.
Yeah.
There's no dog owner has ever owned a bad dog.
Yep.
It doesn't happen.
That
they could
true.
Bite kids' faces off, and it was the kids' fault that they bit the face of the thing off.
Yep. You're absolutely
that
right.
That is what it is.
Yeah.
This is what it is. And I say this to her, but she doesn't understand that.
I don't want to believe
inherently,
that.
Inherently, animals are animals. And this is what, this is what it is.
So I said, you know, well, actually, I just filmed it. And she said, well, my dogs just ran in and out for a second. And I said, then she said, they were chasing another dog that ran in and telling the other dog to get out.
Oh, they talk now, these dogs.
I was like,
I love it. I don't love it, but this is exactly what I call all of this stuff before it even happened, don't I?
We're hoping the plovers are very tenacious.
Well, what happened last night was they were sitting in the park, found them in the parking lot finally, and so I'm just filming and I'm sitting there. Then I go over and help a guy whose dog was just about ready to run by them. So I just said, you know, can I walk with you? We had a nice chat. He reads the blog, and I just made sure the dog, and he just kind of stayed away. And while I was doing that, an SUV came zooming in. So I have this amazing footage of, like, because I just let the camera
like 5 feet away, like doing a flyby, buzzing the tower.
There's the plovers, and then you just see this SUV go like this. And
they didn't move, right?
And they didn't
according
move.
According to your article. So the plovers, like, they didn't even, they weren't even, like, they didn't, you know how sometimes the bunny rabbits are you driving lost it. They run and you're like, oh, they see me. So they're gonna go a different direction, and they actually go further in the path of your tires.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the plovers. They didn't even move at all. And it was like an SUV. That would have made a pancake out of the plover pancakes.
If it had been 3 feet over, it would have been a plover pancake.
Good night.
That's sad when the parking lot is more of a refuge to them
than
the beach.
That is what's so
it's like if I was at the beach, I wouldn't use the parking lot as my refuge. I know that.
Right. When they're using a parking lot to get away if
we had a camera right now, we could photograph the pained expression this is taking such a toll on you.
Yes, I worry about that.
Everybody's concerned. Everybody's concerned for your well-being on many different levels.
To
emotional, mental.
Plover mating season is tough for Kim. It's a real
2 more days of off-leash.
And then she's got the whole plover. Yeah.
Well, you think when there's no more off-leash?
Yeah, you think that's gonna solve it?
No, but you know what it is. You know what it is. It won't be all day long. You know what I mean? There'll be the scufflaws in the morning before the dog officers are on duty, and it'll be the scufflaws after 5 o'clock.
Right.
You know what I mean? It won't be all day. It won't be this unrelenting thing on them. Like, you know.
Did David Calvo sign up for a shift?
No, but he's been down to visit me a couple times down
Did
there.
Did he bring you coffee and donuts?
No. No, but he's very nice and, you know, no he hasn't, but other people have. But I don't think we're going to get 24 for tomorrow. So I'm just really hoping that, I know that a lot of people are writing
It's supposed
in.
To be foggy tomorrow and windy, so maybe we won't have as many people
good.
Down there.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pray for bad weather right now.
Jesus Christ.
Oh,
God. This is crazy.
Sorry.
Crazy.
So anyways, I hope you're not getting sick of it's like.
Well, the drama is, it's a little bit intriguing with the drama to see, you know, how it's going to unfold. Like, will Kim be successful in getting the whole beach shut down so no one can enjoy the Good Harbor Beach?
You know what?
I'm glad I can walk by it.
That's the last thing I want to do. That's why I haven't said that to anybody. I haven't called for that. No. You know, other people are suggesting that, but I'm not calling for that. I'm hoping people do the right thing and keep their dogs away, but that is that
so there's a dog
is not
I
happening.
Want to tell you something. You know I'm not a fan of dogs.
Yes.
I'm not an animal person. Yeah. But there was a dog in the office this morning. Okay. Actually, very cute, well-behaved dog, which I really adore. His name is Duke. I call him Spike, but his name is Duke. Drives his mother crazy. Anyway, the woman that was taking him for a walk said, we're going to go to the beach. I says, I hope you're not going to Good Harbor. She goes, no, I'm going to Niles. And I was like, oh, thank God. Thank goodness that I'm going to
Yeah. Yeah. I have a good story for you off air about all this. So, anyways, off air.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
See, it would be much juicier if you talked about it right now.
No, we cannot.
Yeah, but we have to take Kim's safety and well-being into consideration.
I know. We have to do our part too.
I know. It's imperative to protect Kim's
She's also an endangered species in her own way.
Yeah, well, exactly.
She's making herself more endangered.
Well,
she's protecting the wildlife. Someone needs to...
Listen, who deserves one of these UU awards more than someone that's putting themselves in harm's way?
Nobody that I can come and think of right now.
She's
except
throwing
maybe
herself.
Heidi.
And Heidi.
Yeah.
Let's just hope there's not a lot of dog owners that are voting.
They're going to be booing her. They're going to bring Rotten Tomatoes and heads of lettuce. They're going to be hocking at her. Oh, she's on the stage giving her speech.
Masks with dog faces on
the
them.
Dogs.
We're gonna have
the dogs
to
be running around the church.
We're gonna have to bring, you know, the front row is gonna have to have, like, you know, like they do for Blue Man Group with the sheets of, yeah.
Bulletproof.
Yeah, we have to. She's gonna have to show up in the Pope Mobile. The Pope. Right. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now. Gloucester Pride Stride is Sunday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
That's such a great... I
Which
mean,
is
that
2 days,
is a,
this Sunday.
How many years have they been doing that?
Oh,
like
God, I should know. I just did an interview with them. But anyways, whatever it is, we have the link in the
okay.
the show notes.
I feel like it's at least 30 years or something, because my kids did it when they were...
Yeah, it's quite, it's quite a while. It's quite a while. So there's that. The studio is open.
Yeah.
It's officially open. And they're doing half off.
I think we're going tonight.
Oh, cool.
We were going to go, but my daughter has soccer till late. And
I think
yeah.
we're going to get our half off sushi tonight.
I know. I'm so jealous. I want to go. But they started. I don't know what it's going to, I don't know if it's going to be half off this weekend, but it's definitely half off today.
It's definitely half off today.
And
so.
And they'll send in press releases for the...
You know, sometimes it's when those half off specials, like, you know, by the time you cook dinner and you buy the protein and the veggies and everything else, sometimes those half-off dinners are less than what it would cost to cook it at home.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily less. I mean, it's obviously the whole idea is... So sometimes people do half-off, but they raise the prices double to make it half. Mm-hmm. They don't.
Right. It's
they
the
absolutely
same price.
Do
right.
not.
Right.
So you could go there and get like a steak tip dinner, and it ends up costing you like around... $8 or $9 or something like
right.
that.
And if you bought it, it would be at least that.
100%, and you don't have to clean up.
Right.
It's predicated on hoping that you have a couple drinks,
right.
obviously.
Yeah, right.
Which is fair,
well,
but you don't have to.
And you don't feel bad about it.
You don't feel bad about it, or dessert,
right.
or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
you're going to have a dessert, or I'll have an extra glass of wine.
Yes.
You don't have to convince me to go out to dinner or get takeout. My God. There's nothing that you need to do to convince me.
Yeah.
I had Nordstrom's yesterday. I got Nordstrom's.
Nordstrom Bistro?
Yeah.
I have not been too long.
What did you have?
Grilled chicken and goat cheese panini with those French fries.
Oh,
and the
with
olive.
The tapenade.
Yeah, I got takeout, so we had it for dinner. You have to get two of those little...
Olive things,
because so you have enough.
Oh, yes. The
Delicious.
Saltiness. The saltiness is just like,
those fries.
Crave it.
Are unbelievable.
You know,
yeah.
Wednesday night we had burgers at Short and Main. Short and Unpretentious. and we have the most down to earth hostess there, Kim, with her, always tells me about her little boy because I usually call up and I got to meet her. Anyways, the fries there with their burgers. I mean, first of all, it's a homemade brioche bun with sesame seeds on. It's a homemade bun. Who else makes homemade buns?
Right.
Then it's this giant, fabulous, juicy burger with their secret sauce on it, and then giant ketchup steak fries to die for. The big, you know, potatoes.
Yeah, but
potatoes.
But if you had the fries at Nordstrom's Bistro,
really, we should have a fry.
Oh, no, I had a big day yesterday. I went to the Gingerbread Construction Company too. Have you been there?
No, I've never heard of it. Where's that?
There's one in Winchester, I know, because it's near my dentist. It's great. I go to the dentist and go to the Gingerbread. And
which one do you do first?
No, I do. I know a baguette, but they do these muffins that are. I don't know. They're as big as a coffee cup.
Oh, my gosh.
And they have frosting, or they're filled. They do a banana hazelnut one with... banana muffin.
That sounds really good.
Banana cream. They scoop it out, banana cream in the middle, and chocolate hazelnut drizzle on it.
And that's a muffin, not a cupcake?
Yep. Strawberry shortcake.
Remember the Jordan Marsh muffins?
Oh yeah.
A recipe for those
are famous. Yeah. Floats around.
Floats around, and I've had people have made. I of course have never made them, but I've people have made them and they've tasted pretty good. But no, the Gingerbread Construction Company.
Check it out.
Okay, I love the name.
How come you didn't bring them in for the podcast?
Well,
I'll give you the money so next time you could bring them in.
I promised Joan. I have a dentist appointment in June.
So tell me ahead of time. Whatever it is, just let me know and I'll give you the money.
Oh.
Kim, the Thatcher Island Association, Paul Saint Germain's book, Lighthouses and Life-Saving Stations on Cape Ann, can be purchased on the Thatcher Island Association website.
Right, yeah, and I just purchased my own copy. I have an interest in lighthouses because I think they have something to do with monarch migration. So like
they're markers.
Yeah, I think that they serve as beacons to migrating.
Maybe the light, they're drawn to the light a little bit, you think?
I think when they're far offshore, because they're not to the light, just to the structure.
Oh.
Because it's not just light, it's towers, towers in general. So anyways, I have a goal to learn more about lighthouses, and I thought I would start with our lighthouses. So I bought this beautiful book from Paul Saint Germain, and he's president of the Thatcher Island Association, which also takes care of Straits Mouth Island. So those three, the three islands, Thatcher Island, Straits Mouth Island, and Milk Island, make that area called Turk's Head. Did you know that in Rockport? And it's named after the, the original name of Cape Ann was
Tragabigzanda.
Tragabigzanda, and that was named after a Turkish princess, or Turkish lover.
Yeah.
And then the area around Rockport was called Turk's Head because it reminded Captain Smith that it looked like a Turkish turbine. So my goal is to learn more about lighthouses all around the East Coast as well as the West Coast and through the Great Lakes. But then I just wanted to give a big shout out because Paul wrote this beautiful book. And just to mention to people that if you become a member of the Thatcher Island Association, you will get free tickets to ride out to the island. You get a set of free tickets out there. I don't know if people know that. And it's very, I think an individual membership is like $30 and a family membership is like $60. Anyways,
that's a good take.
Yeah, and that includes cruise tickets out to the lighthouse. So.
My daughter lives on Lake Erie in Erie, Pennsylvania, and on Presque Isle there's a lighthouse.
And there's a lighthouse. And do they get a lot of monarchs there? Do you know?
She told me she tags monarchs. That's part of what they do.
See?
She works for the zoo. Her husband's grandmother just died, and she was born in that lighthouse.
Oh, wow.
Her father was the last lighthouse keeper. So I'm like, tell me.
Right.
You know, I want to know more.
Right.
And they didn't. They don't really know the stories.
Yeah.
Like, how could you not know that? But it's such a cool little thing, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When the monarchs are in like southern Canada and they're crossing over the
Great Lakes,
they stop at all around the Great Lakes at the lighthouses because you don't think of
it's
Great
Lakes.
It's
one of the migration paths.
Right.
I noticed. Yeah.
And you see, you know, that these monarch holdover areas are at lighthouses oftentimes. It's really interesting, I think.
It is very interesting.
As your eyes are glazing over.
Joey wants to retrace the migration path of a monarch butterfly. That's your next vacation, right?
I can see he's got toothpicks holding his eyelids right now. Our readers.
I recognize that we have a lot of readers that love your talk about the plovers and the butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
And as an homage to them, I allow this shit.
And you ask me about it every week, which is very nice.
I do. Yeah. I stroke your thing and make you think that I'm very fascinated. No, but I am, because it is a story. It is a story. And we are friends, so I'm interested in what
it does speak to Gloucester and Cape Ann. And
it does.
The nature, the personality
it absolutely
of the place.
Does.
Yeah, absolutely.
It absolutely does. No, she's doing fantastic work, and I appreciate it. We want to give a shout out to Cape Ann Coffees for their coffee cup plugs.
Yeah,
okay. It's just a little thing. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I think that they're the only ones in town
right in here,
when you get a coffee
and
to
guess
go,
what doesn't happen if your cup spills over?
Oh my gosh!
It's like I picked one up. I have saved this one because I'll reuse it, but and it just does this. And your coffee doesn't slop over.
How come we haven't seen that before?
I know.
No, if you go to the drive-thru, they
they put it in there for you?
I think so.
Or I've only ever walked in, so I don't know. But
see, they go
by the sugar and
so much. I hate those little like liddy things that you take. It never goes back on, and it never goes over. It always hits you in the top of the lip.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's different level. There's different levels of coffee lids. There's no question. There's a hierarchy of more desirable and less desirable coffee lids.
Yeah.
I hope that's recyclable.
Oh Jesus! Probably. Here we go.
I don't see the symbol on it, but there's
it's
much
so tiny.
You ever see the Game of Thrones?
But I think I'm doing my,
not all of it.
I'm going.
But
I'm doing my part by reusing, saving it, and just
she's
uses
walking
this
and
one
they strip her down naked and they shame.
Who knows?
Shame. Shame. Do you know the scene?
Yeah.
She's walking and they're throwing the garbage at her. She's the queen.
I also keep these and take them in and reuse them.
Shame.
That's so smart.
Shame. Reuse the bad nun. And, you know, they're walking with her.
That's very smart. We're just ignoring.
Yeah.
Shame. This is not recyclable.
This is my effort to recycle and reuse.
Look what Pat does. She reuses everything. She even reuses the cardboard.
She's upcycling.
The hot thing I have.
All the buzzwords. We know all the buzzwords.
Upcycle. Wow.
I don't always remember.
If you
to
have
take
little
in,
kids,
but
you know all the buzzwords because aren't they on your case? Right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I know. Trust me. All right, there we go. GlosserCast 278. Thank you guys so much for coming. This might be the last one. Well, no, Sunday. We're going to do one Sunday, probably.
Yeah, I mean, one Sunday.
But unless you don't want to do it.
Exhausting.
Why do you hate me? I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks.
Know.
You don't care.
Right. That's so why I came Wednesday and Friday.
What is the time of the
keep telling her, maybe not. So this is going to be really important.
What
if you want to get your message about the plovers about out, you're really going to have to come.
Right. Well, there might be some Saturday plover news that you'll want to in part on Sunday.
What is the Pride Stripe? The Pride Stripe on
Sunday,
and is that going to be? Do I have to consider that when I'm driving over here from Magnolia?
No.
Okay.
They don't shut down. They don't shut down any of the streets.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. All right, there you go. GlosserCast 278 in the books. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you.
No, you're good.